Good morning. Certainly is good to be out this morning to worship our Lord and Savior. We certainly appreciate the attendance of everybody that is here this morning. Introduce myself if I have not met you yet. My name is Jay Ogden. We placed membership here a couple of weeks ago, and some of you I have known many years. Some of you I have not known hardly at all, but we are so welcome. We are so thankful that y'all have opened your arms to us. Literally, the first day we walked in the door, Jeff May gave me a bear hug, and so that was nice to see. We had a little bit of history in the past. My boys, twin boys, were born 10 weeks premature, and they were born in UAB Hospital. Jeff was preaching at Gardendale at the time with Bill Hall, and so we were staying at the Ronald McDonald House for the first 7.5 weeks of our boys' life, and we were able to attend where Jeff was preaching 22 years ago, so sort of come full circle. But it's a daunting task to look at that directory and trying to get everybody. I figured if I get all the Gilberts, the Knaves, the Presnells, or Purcells and Romines all lined out, I think the battle will be half won. One of the fellows that's in the congregation, Ben Bingham, he's a fellow Plant City Floridian like I am, and he was wise like I did and married a girl from Athens. And so we're trying to catch up with the crowd here, but it certainly has been a pleasure to worship with y'all, and we look forward to looking forward in our life. When people hear the word Florida, from where I'm originally from, a couple of ideas immediately come to mind: Disney World and beaches. Growing up there, I can rest assured there is much more to Florida than just those two items. When people would find out that's where I'm from, the next question would come, well, did you go to the beach a lot? Growing up in a family where I was a preacher's kid and my father was the preacher, there was a idea that we were going to be the ones that would worship the sun, S-O-N, and not be ones to worship the sun, S-U-N. But on the rare occasion that we would go to the beach, it would be towards the evening when the sun would be close to being set, the crowds would be dispersing, and you would not have to subject your eyes to some of the things that folks were either wearing or not wearing, that fig leaves would have probably done a better job at covering up what folks would be wearing. But what was fascinating was every evening, at the same hour of each evening, all these birds of different types would be flying to the north, and they would be going to an uninhabitable island called a Bird Island. And it was interesting to see the seagulls, the pelicans, the skimmers, and the sandpipers would all be winging their way in one direction, and they were going to be roosting there for the night. Observing how these different birds would fly gave insight to the struggle of mankind itself. The pelicans would fly almost effortlessly above the surface of the water, not even having to flap their wings, but only on occasion to give lift. On the other hand, the other birds, the seagulls, the skimmers, the sandpipers, would be constantly flapping their wings and fight against that same wind that would be blowing and having to fight twice as hard to go twice as slow and trying to get to the same place. With that being said, it just takes some birds longer to get to Bird Island. Let's just see what that has to do with the conflict with mankind itself. Human beings have different capacities and abilities too. Some people in this life have it so easy. They can glide effortlessly through this life. Everything falls right into place without even having to break a sweat. We think of King Midas, the old mythological king, that everything he touched turned to gold. We want to be like that. We want things to be effortless in this life. But for the majority of us, what we have to do, we have to crawl and scrape and grind it out every step of the way. There is progress there, but it can be slower than what we would like it for it to be. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 there, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I've got the word underlined, some. He does not say all. Our God is a realistic God. He knows what our different capacities are going to be. They're not going to be the same abilities across the board, one to another. But with our limitations, he also knows what our potential needs to be. Don't let it use as an excuse not to always better ourselves. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "Sometimes, but the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong." Simple statement there, but the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Sometimes the most improbable of outcomes becomes the probable. Think about the tortoise and the hare, and think about David and Goliath. We know the story about the tortoise and the hare. They're going to be set up for a race. The gun sounds, and immediately the hare takes off in a blazing start. The tortoise is a methodical, steady pace. The hare is very prideful in the way he starts thinking, and so he looks back, and he is so far ahead of that tortoise, he's going to take time to go take a nap. And in the meantime, that tortoise is making its constant strides to try to catch up. The hare wakes up, and he says, "I'm still so far ahead. I'm going to go catch me a bite to eat." So he goes, and he's still easily distracted. That tortoise is making methodical progress, and eventually we know what happens. The improbable happens, that the tortoise ends up beating the hare. You think about David and Goliath. You got two outcomes here that are predetermined winner for the outside looking in. Just looking at David himself, not knowing what the story is going to be, you would think he's gone. He has lost. Here he is going against the champion of the Philistines. Here's this man that's 9'9", fully decked out in battle armor. And what we have, we've got David, a youthful lad, who comes out there with no armor whatsoever. He tries putting on Saul's armor, ends up being way too big for him, so he's got this probably no battle training whatsoever, and he's a shepherd boy. None of the men of the of Israel that were warriors, they didn't want to have a thing to do with him. But what happens? He comes out with God on his side. The game is over. I mean, David didn't even have to basically come out with a sling and some stones if he didn't have to. As long as you had God on your side, the improbable becomes the probable. Think about in the race to win the crown of life, there will be different capacities and abilities that Christians will have. Some Christians will have it easy in this life. They may start off strong, then start to glide, and then could easily lose momentum. We see that so often. Folks that have it so easy in this life, they think the Christian life is going to be the same way, and that is not necessarily the case. The grinders just keep plodding away. They may suffer some setbacks, but they just keep on going. Look at Romans chapter 12, part of verse 4 and part of verse 6. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." And there in verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Not every preacher has the gift of gab. Some preachers have the ability to lift the pages, the words off the pages of the Bible, and bring them to life. We're blessed here with Jeff. He does a fine job in breaking to us the words of life. But there are some out there that no matter how hard they can, that they're going to try to draw do an example. They can't even draw it on paper. But blessed be them for giving their effort in trying. There are certain ones in the congregation that are constantly doing for others. And then there are some that are constantly wanting people to do for them. I call those givers and takers. And we got to see which category are we going to find ourselves fall into? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 14, we've got this analogy of the human body versus the body of Christ here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We've got this set up here. If you think of an example of you are holding a hammer in your hand and you're trying to nail a nail, and you go to hit that nail and you hit the wrong nail, what does your body do? Your body doesn't say, your nose doesn't say, well, if you would have been a nose that would have and been smelling like I am, that would have never happened to you. No, that does not happen. What happens? The hand drops the hammer. The hand comes and grabs that finger, the feet, the legs, the waist. It all goes into contortions to do the dance of pain. The face writhes also in pain. The mouth only exhorts words of exhortation and good tidings. You see the whole body coming to that one member that's suffering. And think about the body of Christ. The body of Christ should behave exactly the same way. When we see someone suffering, the body should come to that one person that is hurting and is in need of aid, whether it be physical sickness or death of a loved one. Sometimes it can be our own spiritual life that may be suffering. Don't feel ashamed to ask others to study with you, to pray with you. There's going to be ups and downs and ebbs and flows in our spiritual life. It's not going to always be at the crest of a wave. Sometimes there are pits and valleys that we have to fight through. But that's what we're all about. We're here to help each other along life's way in this journey. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. It says, be a Barnabas. There are folks that may not be as strong as you are. Be a brother, be a Barnabas, a son of encouragement. Be a daughter of encouragement as well. Christians ought to be the most happiest and upbeat of members of society. What do we have that no one else has in this world? That's salvation. We've got blessings that are in Christ. We've got the forgiveness of sins, a Savior we can call our brother. We need to focus on things like that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, we've got the parable of the talents here. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, we'll read down to verse 23. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability,
and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over many things, a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Jesus assures us that the race does not go to the swift or the smooth. The 2-talent man did not have as much money or his ability as the 5-talent man, and he was only slightly better than the 1-talent man. The 5-talent man, he was a smoothie, not the drink, but he was one where life was easy for him. But that did not mean he didn't have to go out and work for the master. But he was much further ahead than the nearest competition. You see, there was no 4-talent or 3-talent man mentioned, but he was head and shoulders above the 2-talent man. But that we see that the 2-talent man, he was a grinder. Never on his best day would he be a 5-talenter. That doesn't stop him from making the progress he needed, although he was going to be only slightly better than the 1-talent man. He still got the job done. The 2-talent and 5-talent man both received the same commendation from the Lord. The 5-talent man went and made 5 more talents. 5 and 5 is 10, according to Alabama math or the Common Core math that's out there. And the 2 went out and made a total of 4. 10 talents is so much greater than 4. Yet the master gave them the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. The Lord has good news for those that are grinders in his kingdom. We may never be able to catch up with the gliders in this life, but that's okay. We will all end up in the same resting place. Life is going to have its struggles. You've heard the expression, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. That's still a progress of 1 step, isn't it? We're as long as we can keep enduring. One of the things I've got is a coin collection. And the coin on the left is a widow's mite from the 1st century. And you can look at it in regards to our penny. It's another copper coin. It's small. It's not going to be of much value back in the day. If you look at, I think in Luke chapter 21, Jesus is observing those that are going in and paying money into the treasury. And he sees this widow woman, and she gives 2 mites, 2 widow's mites. Back then, a mite or two may have been able to buy a little bit of bread, is about all. It didn't have the buying power that some of the other coins back then had. But Jesus said, out of the abundance of what others were prospered with, that's what they were giving. But out of the poverty of what she had, she gave all that she had. Now, our realistic God and Father, he looks at us and knows what our things that are out there. If we were to give everything that we had in our money account, he knows we couldn't pay the house bill. We couldn't pay the electric bill that would be due. But there are things that are required of us, and he was giving praise to that woman that she had her trust in God. That if she gave all that she had, that she would in turn be all right. Don't give up the struggle, and don't let your disability that you think of get in the way of your ability. If you look at Matthew chapter 25, there, starting back up in verse 24, It says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he who will have abundance, but from him who he does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's a man whose ability was limited, but chose not to do anything. He was a grinder, but he chose not to grind. He had the energy and the wherewithal, the ability to go dig a hole, but what did he end up doing? He ended up burying himself. He ended up burying his talent in that hole. And let us always think about that. Do not bury what the Lord has graciously given to us. Do not be lazy in his kingdom. He had a bad idea in his own mind, and he just gave up. And we've got a word of caution. The Lord is going to be coming back again, and he's going to ask us, what did we do with our talents? Are we going to say we were afraid and we went and buried? Or do we say, hey, you gave me 2, here's 4. You gave me 5, here's 10. We've got certain answers that we're going to be having to give to the Lord. Let us remember those things. There are some here that are very blessed with certain talents. Keep them up, keep building on that, and we always want to do what we can to help each other along life's way. He's coming again to reap his harvest. Just like the birds heading to Bird Island to roost, it may take you twice as much energy to go half as far, but it'll be worth every effort you expend in finally making it to the city of eternal rest. What about you? Have you begun your path on the life of a Christian? The Lord is coming again. We don't know when, but we need to be always ready at that moment's notice. If you have yet to render obedience to the gospel, the baptistry is ready. There are men ready to assist you in that. If you are a Christian and have given up on your talents and your abilities and capacities, and you're ready to repent, your soul would no longer be in jeopardy. If we can help you in any way, pray that you will come forward as we stand and sing.